We're going to be looking at the book of Daniel today, specifically Daniel chapter 10. We're also going to backtrack a little bit to the chapters prior, just looking at what leads to Daniel's encounter with this messenger from God. Been really struck by Daniel lately in my studies, just with his prayer life and his consistency. Even with the things going on, he experiences a lot of unusual things, and sometimes when we pray, we expect those things to go away, but we'll find out that Daniel, through his prayers, actually has to go through more trials, more battles, and it's for the glory of God. As we were speaking this morning, it was brought up about the presence of God, and do we really feel God's presence in our life? And that's something that today, as we're talking, I want us to really take a step back and really consider that thought is, how is our relationship with God? Not just the faces we put on or what we come into on a Sunday morning around everyone else, but maybe middle of the week when we're all alone. And it's that the honest conversations with the Lord. Do we really have a relationship as if it's our best friend? Or is it just, you know what, I haven't really talked to God lately? And that's something, even considering the presence of God and hearing from the Lord. And that's something that I've been hearing a lot, whether it be from teenagers, whether it be from new Christians, whether it be from people who have been believers for 20, 30 or more years, is, you know, I don't really hear from God anymore. And that's a question that's something that's been coming up. And as Christians, we have access to the Almighty God, and it's, how are we using that? Are we drawing near to Him? Are we really walking and talking and speaking with Him? Or has it just become, this is something I should do? And that's the question I want us to consider as we discuss this book today, is how is our relationship with God? How is our unfiltered, honest relationship with God? Daniel chapter 10, we'll read it through. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is the Tigris, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one of the similitude of the men, sons of men touched my lips Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Let's just look to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you that you do speak. And not only do you speak, but you hear us also. So Lord, I pray that for this time, Lord, that we would just draw near to you, that we would push everything else aside, and that we would truly feel your presence. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak and that we would hear and apply what you have to say. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. At this point in Daniel's life, he is about 80 or so years old. He has gone through a lot. And we'll go through just a couple, starting in Daniel 1, just kind of give you an understanding a little bit of what has led to this point of Daniel's life. He was a Jewish captive in Babylon as a child. So basically, there is a group of children chosen. It says that they were without blemish and well-favored, and that they would be this group that would be set apart to be taught the way of the Chaldeans. They would be taught for the king's service, for the palace order. And essentially, what was going to happen with this group of kids was they were going to be put on a three-year meal plan. And they were going to be eating the best meat and the king's wine, and for the purpose that after 3 years, they would be the strongest, the most intelligent, and that they would be fit to serve the king. It says in verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. So Daniel basically sets up, it says he found favor with the prince of the eunuchs, and essentially he gets this deal that for 10 days, try this, where Daniel isn't going to eat the meat, he's not going to drink the king's wine, he's just going to eat what's called pulse in the King James, but that just means vegetables, and he's just going to eat this instead of the meat. And what happens is after 10 days, Daniel, along with his friends who also were going through this process, appeared much more fairer, it says, and fatter in flesh than the rest of the group that ate the meat and drank the wine. And because of this, because of Daniel's commitment to what he felt the Lord was telling him to do, to not just blindly obey what the king was saying, it says in verse 17, As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So this is where you see as a child, Daniel is now set apart to where God is going to start revealing his wisdom through Daniel. Chapter 2 goes on to where the king has a dream, and if you've read any of the Old Testament prophets and whatnot, usually when someone in authority has a dream, he would call in those who appeared to be wise, those who would tell him and interpret what the dream meant going forward. So basically, the king does it a little different, and he says, he calls all the wise men in and says, I don't want you just to tell me in the interpretation of my dream. I want you to tell me what my dream actually was. So he doesn't tell them anything. And he says, if you're truly as wise as you say you are, tell me what my dream was. And of course, all the men are like, that's impossible. We can't do that. But what's different about Daniel is he goes to the Lord for wisdom. So in chapter 2, verse 19, the key verses there, it says, "And it was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might is his." So along with the king's request that these wise men should tell him the dream, he basically says, if anyone can't tell me the dream, I'm going to kill you all. So it's tensions are very high for these people, and they're trying to figure out the best way. How do we interpret a dream that we know nothing about? And it's interesting to see Daniel's perspective and his calmness in going to the Lord. And you see that he blesses the God of heaven. This is before he even goes in to see the king. He even goes in to see his officials to tell him what the dream was. The first thing he does is bless God that he was revealed his wisdom. I think that's so important in our own lives as we go through things, is not wait until after the circumstance, not wait until after the trial happens to, okay, now I'll thank the Lord. It's before even going before the kings to explain what the dream was. He says, I want to bless God first. Another interesting verse in that passage, it says, in verse 30, it says, "But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that they shall make known the interpretation to the king." See, Daniel, you see his humility here, that he's not saying, you know what, I know so much more than anyone else. They already said, the other wise men had said that it's impossible to know what the dream was. And Daniel knows now. And in his humility, he says, this secret is not revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone else, but it's for their sakes. I wonder what talents and gifts God has given you for their sakes. Into chapter 3 now, you see the fiery furnace. Here is the king has set up an image of gold, and what's going to happen basically is he puts out an order that you're going to bow down and worship this golden image. And here's where you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where in verse 17, it says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Here you see this idea of consistency again, that, you know, we're not going to change our reliance on God, even though what's set up by the world. And they have no fear, as, you know, they understand that God's power can deliver them from the fiery furnace. Again, the king has set up this decree that you got to worship the golden image, but if you don't, basically you're going to die again. And their thoughts here is, we trust God that he's going to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we'd rather go out serving our God in the end. And again, they go through the furnace, and it says in verse 25, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of Man." See, these three men had to go into the fire. The fire wasn't taken away. They went right in, and Jesus was right in the midst of them there fighting for them. Again, sometimes we pray that the Lord would take things away. Oftentimes, the Lord wants you to go right through. Going now on to chapter 6, the next few chapters of Daniel shows some visions that Daniel would then reveal to those in authority. But here in chapter 6, as Daniel starts to rise in power and up the ranks in the royal system, of course people are going to start getting jealous. So basically, there's a few men who who are trying to get Daniel killed, trying to get him caught doing something to get him out of there. So they go before the new king, Darius, and they say that he should set up a decree for 30 days that anyone who should pray to the king and the king alone. And again, if they do not pray to Darius, then again, they should be killed. So a key verse in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 is, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," that's the decree for 30 days that they should not pray to anyone else except the king. "Once Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, just as he did before." I've really been appreciating this verse, and especially the words at the end, that he gave thanks and prayed to God just like he did before. It wasn't that he changed, "Oh, maybe for 30 days I'm just not going to pray. I'm just going to play it cool, and you know, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to go out like this." He could have easily done that. He could have also easily been, "You know what? I'm not listening to authority. I'm going to pray more times a day. I'm going to open the windows, and I want to make sure everyone knows that I'm praying." But he doesn't do that either. He shows his consistency that, "You know what? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to worship the Lord. No matter what circumstances are in front of me, I'm going to do it just like I did before." Because of that, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. And, of course, if you're going to get thrown in the lion's den, chances of you surviving aren't very high. And again, you see that even in Daniel's praying and calling out to the Lord, he gets put into a trial, into a circumstance that, again, we think, "Oh, if we pray, we're going to avoid some of these things." But yet, it's because of his prayer that he gets put into a lion's den. And you see throughout the rest of this chapter that it's working on the heart of Darius, that the king was so displeased when he found out that Daniel was caught praying, because he knew that he had already made the decree and he had to stick with it. So you see through the rest of chapter 6, and if you get a chance to read it this week, I would encourage you to do so. But basically, it works on the heart of Darius to where he sees the power of God in delivering Daniel from the lion's den. Again, sometimes we have to go through things, not for our own sakes, but that others may see the power of God. The Lord knew that he could put Daniel into such a life-threatening situation and that Daniel would remain faithful and calm in order to reach the lost, in order to reach others. I wonder where God wants to place you in order to reach someone else. I wonder what you're suffering for that's not even about you, but that someone else may know him. So there's some more visions in the next few chapters, more answers to prayer. And we get to Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 10 are kind of similar in a sense, and we'll see the contrast between Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9 and what we just read in Daniel chapter 10. So Daniel 9 chapter verse 3 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." And we won't read through the whole prayer again. If you have time this week, I would encourage you to do so, because I think this prayer of confession, not only for Daniel himself, but also for his people, is something very admirable. In Daniel chapter, still 9, verse 18, if you skip ahead, Daniel says, "O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations. And the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Do we pray like that? Do we, when we have time with the Lord, honestly and openly go before him and really ask him to do something? I think we so often get caught up in our own just same, similar, and oftentimes, if we're honest, boring prayers of just do this, do that, and go on our way. Sometimes we don't even look to the Lord. But here, Daniel, after confessing, after fasting, after anointing him, not anointing himself, he says, Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Lord, speak to me. We're talking earlier, we're saying sometimes we just don't feel like we hear the Lord anymore. Well, go and talk to the Lord. Why do we feel like it's going to be some amazing sign and wonder that's just going to come out of nowhere and we get frustrated when we don't see it? How often do we go back and get in God's face and say, you know what, Lord, I haven't heard from you and I don't want that. I want to hear from you. I want to walk with you. I want that constant communication with you. And right now, I'm just not feeling it. That's fine prayer to pray. That's an honest, that's an open prayer. And that's what God wants. God has a desire to have that relationship with you. Not a fake relationship of just saying these nice, sweet things because that's what I was told to do in church. Again, how is our relationship with God? Do we have that boldness to go before God and really seek him, that nothing else matters until I get an answer from the Lord? And here you see the answer in verse 20. It says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now Daniel is in a position to hear from the Lord. He had to go through a period. In verse 3, it says he was fasting, supplications, sackcloth, and ashes, and he prayed to the Lord and made a great confession. He's calling out to the Lord. He's being honest. He's being open. It says while he was speaking, while he was praying, while he was coming before the Lord, that answer came right away. And sometimes that's how the Lord works. I remember a few times where whether there was a certain person on my mind or someone I haven't talked to in a while, and whether it was months, weeks, years even, and I just had this aching to go before the Lord, and I was just praying and pouring myself out. And I remember on a couple occasions, as soon as I said amen and checked my phone, there was a text from that person. Sometimes it's right away that the Lord answers, and it's when we draw to him first, then he could get us the answer that we need. But there's often an emptying period to get you to that position. Here in Daniel chapter 9, you see that it was during his prayer that the Lord answers, which is different than what we read in Daniel chapter 10. Which we'll get into now, where it says, in those days, Daniel, I was mourning 3 full weeks. So here, now that you have a little bit of understanding of how Daniel has been conducting his life, the things that have happened to him, how he has, from a child, grown up in this system, has gone through different trials, different circumstances, different battles, has consistently called upon his Lord, you see him now, again, about 80 years old, with another task ahead of him. And it said in verse 1, the time appointed was long. If you remember a while back, we discussed King David's life and how what led up to his eventual lapse, where he was accomplishing so many things, rising in power, rising in ranks, gaining favor with the Lord and his people, and then he had a lapse because it was so much one thing after another. Even in successes, sometimes when you look at the whole group, it can become so overwhelming, and even something the Lord wants to use can be so consuming that if we look at it in the whole cluster of it, we can say, you know, what does this matter again? I'm here again. And that's kind of where I see Daniel. It says the time appointed was long. Every time Daniel was getting a vision, it was something way in the future. And Daniel had to be able to stay consistent and keep going back to the Lord, because this was probably so draining on Daniel to constantly be battling, constantly be praying, and the Lord kept putting him into different trials and different circumstances. And here he is again with another long vision. And you see him, it says, he was mourning. He ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in his mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Similar to where he was fasting in Daniel chapter 9. And just one quick thought on fasting is, if you are going to fast, don't do it with the idea of, oh, I have to do this for X amount of time. Or do it with, oh, it has to be food. That's something that we typically associate fasting with, that I'm not gonna eat until X amount of time. And that's great, but sometimes when we do that, you go through that whole process of, oh, I'm not gonna eat for 24 hours, and 24 hours is up and you still don't have an answer. Sometimes it could be just noticing things in your life that maybe have taken your focus away, and it could be something so simple as, you know what, I want to draw closer to the Lord, and I've been spending way too much time watching TV, so for this week, until I get my answer, I'm not going to watch TV. Or maybe been so caught up in scrolling through social media feeds, and it's been playing games on your mind because you're always looking at what's going on in the news, and it's really been crushing your spirit. It's going and saying, you know what, to me, I would rather pray and hear what God has to say instead of constantly wasting my time this week. I'm just going to delete the apps for right now. And when you go fasting, go with the mindset that, you know what, I'm going to change this one specific thing. It doesn't have to be everything at once, because you're going to get overwhelmed and you're probably not going to be able to do it. But when you take one thing and say, you know what, it's more important that I hear from the Lord instead of doing this thing. And sometimes he answers right away, and sometimes it takes a little while. I had an experience, and I just want to share this just to give you a little perspective on how the Lord works. Is there was a few years back, I was going through something where I don't even remember what it was anymore, but I just remember it was so overwhelming, so consuming. I was sick of fighting the same battle over and over again. And one day I woke up and it was, I can't keep going through this anymore. And it was, I'm gonna fast and I'm gonna pray until I get my answer, because I'm sick of this and nothing else matters besides getting my answer and hearing from the Lord. And when I made that commitment and I started praying, I don't even think it was 2 hours before I got my answer. And it was like so clear that the Lord was speaking, okay, now go eat and get your strength, because I have work for you to do. Again, don't look so much on, oh, I have to do it for this long or that long, or I have to show that I'm really, really in this. Sometimes the Lord gives you an answer and you get your strength back and you go. Okay, don't do your fasting just for the sake of time. Don't do your fasting just for the sake of what you think other people would want you to do. Get back in with the Lord and say, you know what, I'm not leaving your presence, Lord, until you give me what I'm looking for. And you'll be surprised how much he changes and gives you understanding and wisdom. So that's what Daniel does for 3 full weeks. And on the 24th day of the first month, he's just by the river. And that's when this man appears to him. He says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. That's something, that's all it is. I lifted up my eyes and looked. Again, sometimes we get so caught up in wanting the big and just traumatic things in our life that God, we want God to almost like hit us over the head and show us his power sometimes and show us that he's there. But how often do we just take a step back and say, you know what, I'm just going to lift my eyes to the Lord. I'm just going to bless the Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know where to go from here. But I just want to lift my eyes to the Lord. Doesn't even matter what you're bringing before the Lord. Sometimes he wants your presence. Maybe the reason that you haven't felt God's presence is because you haven't sought to be in his presence. I lifted up mine eyes and looked. Are we looking to hear from God? Are we looking for that relationship with God? Or has it just been the same mundane things? And he's just standing by the river with his friends. And that's when the messenger from God shows up. God often shows up in the ordinary. God often shows up in our just regular day-to-day activities. It's not always the big and the bold. Sometimes it's just our ordinary. So it gives an explanation. We won't go too much into it about what this man looked like that appeared to Daniel. But it's interesting, the next little portion, it says, and I, in verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Why? Because he, for 3 weeks, was just mourning and looking and praying to the Lord. Not even perfect, I'm sure. I'm sure he had his doubts. I'm sure he had his, why am I still going through this moment? But Daniel alone was positioned for God to reveal what he had to say next. A brother once shared that the closer you get to God, the lonelier it gets. And I feel like that's so true. As we grow close to the Lord and it feels like he's revealing things to us and we're growing in wisdom, we're growing in understanding, and sometimes we look back and we look at our brothers and sisters and it's like, don't you want to come with us? Like, aren't you here beside me? And sometimes it's like the rest just don't get it. But in those moments, can you stay consistent and say, you know what, my relationship, my walk with the Lord is greater. I got to keep pressing on towards that encounter with the Lord, regardless of who's at my left, who's at my right, because the Lord goes before me. So Daniel's left alone. Again, it says in verse 8, I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me. We see this a lot in Scripture. And we'll go, just, you don't have to turn, but Revelation chapter 1, where John has his vision and his encounter with the Lord. And in verse 17, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I fell at his feet as dead. See that too when Saul is first, when the Lord knocks Saul off his horse, who becomes Paul, where Saul's strength is gone and he's blinded for 3 days and has to rely on those around him to guide him. It's often when God reveals things to us, it's often so overwhelming and powerful that it takes our strength away. I love the quote that says, at the end of our strength is where the beginning of God's can begin. Because we often want to do it our own way. We often think that, oh, if I just do this or if I just do that, then the blessings are going to come. But often when God wants to do something so powerful in our life, it often comes after an emptying period. That's what Daniel is experiencing in these 3 weeks, is an emptying and a humbling of his own spirit, getting him ready for what the Lord wants to speak to him next. He could have easily answered like he did before while he was speaking. But for this encounter, it was going to take some time. It was going to take a delay. God knows when to give you the answer right away, and he knows when he needs a delay. And oftentimes it's because he needs to empty you to get you ready for what's going to be next. He needs to get you in a position to hear what is next. So if you're in a position where you're calling out to the Lord and you're getting nothing, look again and go with confidence that, you know what, the Lord has already sent his answer. He's just preparing you for what that's going to be. And maybe there's something that's missing or you're not quite ready yet to hear what he has to say. Just one more about the strength in Isaiah chapter 6, just one verse. Isaiah, he has this, again, an encounter with a messenger from the Lord, and he has the vision. And in verse 5 of chapter 6, it says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone." Again, when the power of God comes onto your life, sometimes it takes your strength away. It takes your breath away. It causes you to be undone so that God's strength can come in. That's what we see. We already read it in Daniel 10. In the end, it says his strength was restored. If you're in a position where you have nothing left and you've been calling out to the Lord, you are so close to hearing what God has to say. Continue to stand your ground and be consistent in your prayer life. Verse 9 says, "I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me when he set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." We saw this in chapter 9, in verse 23. I read it again. It says, "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." And you see it in the end of chapter 10. There's another verse in the chapter 10 that we already read where it says again, "O man greatly beloved," in verse 19. And as you're seeing those, and this messenger from the Lord keeps reminding Daniel, "You are beloved," you could kind of feel for Daniel in his mourning for these 3 weeks. I'm sure there was a thought that came into his mind: am I still loved by God? Has God's presence left me? Because I've been crying out to the Lord and I've been getting nothing. Am I still beloved? And that's something in our walks that we have to believe for ourselves, is our position with the Lord, that he truly does love us. He truly does want the best for us. And if we don't believe that first, then it's going to be very difficult to hear from the Lord and see what he wants to do in our lives if we can't first believe that he truly does love us. We could hear it many times, you could say it any way you want, but at the end of the day, it's that one-on-one relationship between you and God alone. Do you truly believe that you're beloved? And it's interesting how before the visions are revealed, that's the first thing that's said. And that's important for when we deal with people, when we're working with people, is to first let them know that they are beloved, that they are valued, that whatever actions they do does not change your perception of them. That's how God looks on us, that there's nothing we can or cannot do that he's going to say, I love you more today or I love you less today. We are always beloved, no matter what we do. So Daniel gets this vision alone. And I don't want to skip over the other men that were with him that didn't get the vision, because it shows that we could be so close to the presence of God and still not hear him. God has said in his scripture, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He also says, be strong and of good courage, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. And again, that does not change based on the things that we do. He is always with us. We have living waters rushing through our veins. We have the same power that rose Christ from the grave within us. Do you really believe that, though? Because we often pray things like, Lord, be with me today, or be with that person. And I could see the Lord sometimes just looking back and saying, when did I leave? When did I say I wasn't here for you anymore? We are always in the presence of God. He is always in this place. He is always with us wherever we will go. Again, do you really believe that? Or are those just nice words to hear that you haven't really grasped for yourself yet? These men were so close to the presence of God, yet they didn't see what he had to say. He didn't hear what the Lord's messenger would speak, but Daniel alone would, because he was positioned to hear. I wonder, are you positioned to hear what God has to say? To close, I just want to look at verse 12 and 13. These are becoming one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It says, then said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. It says, from the very first day I came for your words. I'm sure you already picked up on the connection, but verse 2 says, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 13 says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, 3 weeks. The second Daniel prayed and cried out to the Lord, his answer was already on the way. Even in a delay, even when you're crying out to the Lord and it feels like nothing is happening, when you say amen and nothing changes, God has already sent your answer. That's why I want to encourage you again, in those moments, in that emptying period, in that position where you feel like you're not hearing from the Lord, God is positioning you to be ready for what's coming next. Your answer is already on your way. It's already done. You already have victory. But you have to withstand the entire process. Don't give up on it just yet. Your answer is already coming. And you see, too, just to give you like a little glimpse into the spiritual warfare, is not only the second that Daniel prayed was his answer on the way, but Daniel must have prayed something so powerful that the enemy had to send something to get in the way. Again, I wonder the power of your prayers, how much it's causing fear in the enemy that he has to send obstacles and challenges and battles into your life to get you sidetracked, to get you hindered. That alone should confirm to you that you're exactly where God wants you to be when those things are coming at you. Obviously, it was big enough that the enemy would send his messengers to try to stop this answer. But God is going to prevail. God could have easily, if he needed to, got the word to Daniel right away. We already saw that in chapter 9. It says, while he was speaking, his answer came. If Daniel needed the answer right away, God could have sent it right away. But God knows something that we don't know. And that's what we have to remember in those moments of delay, in those moments of frustration, in those moments of, is God really here with me? Is that God has the answer already, and he's going to get it to you, but he also knows when to get it to you. These three, you don't see much about what's going on in Daniel's head for these 3 weeks. But there's a lot that we could assume that it's not just a joyful time of prayer. It's honest. It's uncut. It's unfiltered. In God's face, honest and open. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants that genuine relationship with each other. Just you and him. Let's go to John 15:15. Something that I want us to really grasp and claim and understand is that God loves to reveal things to us. God loves when we trust him. God loves when we have that relationship with him. God just simply loves us. In verse 15 of John 15, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. See, here you could see that the Lord wants to reveal things to you. He wants to answer your prayers. But he can't answer your prayers if you're not asking them. If you're trying to put on a front and hopefully God will bless me today, well, have you gone to him and asked for it? Yes, it's his will, and yes, he knows better than you do. But when you are honest and you could pray those prayers, you'll be surprised how he changes them just a little bit. And now you get your answer. Again, he wants to reveal things to you. He doesn't want you just to simply serve him. He wants to be a friend with you. Isn't that amazing that the Almighty God calls you friend? But again, do you really believe that? Or is that just words you're hearing today? Is that something you're going to claim for yourself that, you know what, the Almighty God, the creator of all things, he wants a one-on-one friendship with me? Do we go before him like he's our friend? We'll go back to Daniel for a minute. Again, in that verse 12, it says, for from the first day that thou didst send thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Again, our prayer life, I am come for your words. He wasn't going to come if our words aren't spoken. And if you go on to the rest through the rest of the chapter, you see that Daniel receives his strength again. He's ready to go. And in chapter 11, the vision is revealed to him. What he needs to know is revealed. So just in closing, there's often an emptying period before God wants to really do something impactful for you. The answer is already on the way. He already knows how he's going to solve the problem that you're going through. But you have to be willing to withstand the battle, the delay, and stay consistent in prayer with the Lord. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you. He wants that relationship with you. He died for you so that he could talk with you. Go before the Lord. Pray better prayers. Let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you again for your word. I thank you for showing us that you want a genuine relationship. And Lord, we are so thankful for that. We are thankful that we are more than just servants, that we are more than just working for you, but that we can also just take a step back and just enjoy that relationship that we have. We don't have to wait, Lord, until we get to heaven to speak with you, to hear from you. We can start praising your name right now. And Lord, that's exactly what we want to do. I pray that you are glorified in this message. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.